F them, because that is not about America. That is about your personal wish list. And that is just as swampy as anything McCarthy has done or will do.
We wasted all this time, and then that's time we could have spent doing something.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Yesterday, we read an email that we got from Miss Natalie in Phoenix about her experience with Genucel. And we love, love, love it when you guys send the testimonials, because there's no better way of helping people understand that it's not just us saying that Genucel is great. It's the people like you out there who order it, who try it for yourselves. And then you're like, oh my God, this really is the real deal. So just like Natalie, this is a good time to check out the most popular package from Genucel. They're doing their New Year's clearance event. You can save over 70% off of their most popular package. And by the way, and Natalie, I don't know if she's heard from Genucel yet or not. I know she will. But anytime you do send in a testimonial like that, Genucel is going to give you a product for free. And it's like a full-size product of your choice. So there is incentive for you to talk about your experience with it. And that is just another example of how awesome of a company they are. So check them out. Just go to the website, see all the skincare that's out there. It's amazing. We've trusted them for years. We love them. It's genucel.com/.
And you guys, guess what we did yesterday? We recorded with Michelle Tafoya. If you don't know who Michelle Tafoya is, she's completely awesome. And she's kind of a big deal. She is kind of a big deal. And she had us on her podcast. She was on Tucker last night. Mm-hmm. Miriam told me. She was also doing the rounds yesterday because she was talking about that football player that suffered cardiac arrest. So she used to be a huge, important sports chick. And since I don't watch a lot of sports, Miriam Amaka to tell me all about her. But I, you know, now she's like a very important political chick. So now she's...
Well, and she's also our new best friend. So
she is. She is our new BFF. But we were on her podcast yesterday. That, I think, is out now. It's coming out today. Okay, it's coming out today. So you should check that out. And then we're going to have her on our show. So definitely check that out if you get a chance to. And then we're going to return the favor, have her on our show. And you guys can check that out as well. But her name is Michelle Tafoya. And I'm sure a lot of the dudes out there, and I'm totally sexual stereotyping, a lot of the dudes out there probably know exactly who she is.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah. She's kind of a big deal. So anyway, that is happening. Thank you, Mark Wallace. Mark says, welcome to day two of the reality show that's literally holding America hostage. Today, Nancy Pelosi will laugh while eating $20 a pint ice cream from her $50,000 refrigerator over the poop show. You're absolutely right. We're going to get into that a whole big bunch. Thank you, Shelley. Shelly says, good morning on a wing and a prayer. It's the best way to start your day. Man, I hope so. Because you guys, this show is going to be wung.
It's wung. It's going to be wung.
I thought before we get into newsy stuff, people are always like, what's going on with your name? Apparently, I need to explain my name. I think it should be relatively obvious today why my name is Omaka Steaks. And that is because... That is because Omaha Steaks, you still get your $30 off with code CHICKS at omahasteaks.com. So if you want to stock up, fill up your freezer with all the good stuff from Omaha Steaks, still a great time. You're still going to get a great discount. Omaha Steaks is my name today. So anyway, I thought before we would get to the house chaos, because there is continued house chaos, you have been promising a story about your husband's retirement.
Oh my gosh. Are we going to do that right now? Okay. Yeah. All right. Oh God, I feel like I'm so unprepared. Okay, so so caught off guard. All right, so my husband retired. We went there back in early December. We went there for his retirement party. Flew out to Indy. Big as Mock would say, big hullabaloo. So we go to his company, which happens to be in Indianapolis, downtown Indianapolis. It's a pharmaceutical company. I actually met, I'm sure you've heard of it. So I actually met my husband at that company years and years and years ago. And I worked there. He hired me on paper. He hired me. He was like, oh, she looks good. She's kind of smart. And then he met me and he was like, oh, damn. And that's where it all began. So So anyway, so long story short, I left there and started working with Mock. We, you know, worked at companies, blah, blah, blah. And then the blah, logs, that's how it all started. But then, you know, and I moved away, came back, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, but we had worked there years and years and years ago. And I worked at that for, and I love that company, really love working at that company. It's a great company. Anywho, he worked there for, gosh, 20 years, retired. And the people were great there. People are great there. We went in, my daughter and I, we took our daughter out of school for 2 days so she could attend this retirement party, which we normally don't do. We normally don't take her out of school, but we thought this is a really big occasion, right? So took her in there. You have to go through like 14 levels of security to get into this place. It's like Fort Knox, right?
So you it's go not like the Wuhan lab. Okay. No.
Not at all. So you go in and you get a badge. He has a badge and everything. He hasn't been in there for 2 years because of COVID. Okay. So he hasn't physically walked in the building because it's in Indy. He's in Texas. And so, and we, I haven't been in there in forever. And so, you know, we go in and the first thing that they ask him is he's like, can we see your vaccination card? And my husband actually has one. You know, he has one because he was vaccinated, you know, I guess a year or two ago. I don't have one. Neither does my daughter for obvious reasons. So, so I didn't have one. And they're like, well, we're not going to be able to let you in. And he says,
quick pause, because before this goes away, I can't let this go away. Becky's Millie is 15 today.
Oh my God, Millie, happy
birthday, Millie.
Holy crap. The first time we met her, she was like 7 years old. Do you remember?
Millie listened to our very first radio show. She was a tiny, tiny tot.
This was
back in what, 2013?
Yep, 2013.
And so Millie, thank you, Becky. Shout out to Millie for her 15th birthday. She has totally grown up with you ladies.
Oh my God. She's going to be driving. She's driving.
Oh my God.
Watch out. Stay off the roads, everybody.
I can't. Continue.
Anyway, so we go in there. We go in there and they ask for his vaccination card. He has one. We do not. And I plan on never having one. So we can't go in. And we have traveled all this way. And they're like, well, we're not going to be able to let you in. And I'm looking at him like, what are we going to do? You know? And I cannot believe that they still have this rule. Like they still have this thing where they're asked. I mean, after everything that everybody's been through over the past 2 years and like what's happened and what we've learned and everything, they are still asking for a vaccination card to get into a pharmaceutical company, which you think a pharmaceutical company would know that a lot of this crap is bogus at this point. No, they asked for the card. So I'm like, I don't have one. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, we can't let you in. I'm like, well,
To his retirement party.
So my husband like starts losing his shit, right? And I can just start seeing, like, if you guys know my husband, you know how he is. And he's just like, oh no, this is not. So he immediately gets on the phone with his boss and some people on his team. And he's like, well, I guess we're just not going to go. Like, I'm just not going to have one. Cause if my wife and my kid can't get in here, I guess we're going to cancel the whole thing, you know? And so people start making phone calls behind the scenes and everything. And we're sitting in the waiting room. My husband goes, he goes, just wait here. He goes off, starts talking to people. I have no idea what's happening. For all I know, he's going to get escorted out or something's going to happen, or he's going to start going crazy. He's probably losing his mind with people. I can only imagine the words that are being said. And so we're waiting in the lobby, my daughter and I, and some security guy comes up to us, and the security guy is like, have you been vaccinated or something? He starts asking me questions. And I was like, no. And he's asking me all these personal questions, and he goes, and you could tell like in his demeanor changed. Like he's asking me these questions about being vaccinated, and he immediately starts treating us differently. Like, you know what I mean? Like
when you told him that you weren't, that's when he changed.
Right. Like, you know what I mean? How they do that, how they start treating you differently. Like you're somehow
diseased.
Yeah. You know how that goes.
Like you're a leper.
Right. Kind of like that. And so, his demeanor changed like that. And then, he goes, well, you know, well, maybe we can make arrangements where if you wear a mask back to, the party and you wear a mask the whole time you're on the premises, then, you can attend his party. And I'm just like, oh my God. And of course, my daughter looks at me and she says, mommy, I don't want to wear a mask. And I said, I'll tell you what, hun, we can wear a mask back. Like just when people are looking at us, we'll just wear a mask back to where the party is. And then we'll immediately take it off. And that's what my husband said. He goes, just get to the back, get to the room and then take it off immediately. And let's just get through this and get the hell out of here. And that's what we did. But can you believe that this is what they're doing? Like in pharmaceutical companies, you think that scientists would mm-hmm. know that this is just, it's crazy. But
well,
yeah,
that's the frustrating thing too, about even walking into a hospital right now or a medical office and they're all requiring masks. And I'm like, you guys are the ones that should know how dumb this is better than anyone else.
Right.
And yet you're still doing, it's just, I can't believe what we're all being forced to do.
And the bottom line is, it's a place of business. You know, it was a lot, we're in this giant lobby. And he's like, you got to put a, and I'm thinking, why? There's nobody else here wearing a mask. Like, why are you going to make me wear a mask to go? It was just, I just wanted to say all the things and do all the things. And he was so pissed off about it. And he's like, after 20 years, you know, you're going to make me go. And it really, what it did was it really tarnished the day, you know, it put a damper on the whole day and on 20 years of service to that company. Mm-hmm. And it was just, yeah, it was dumb as hell, Crystal. It was dumb as hell is what it was.
So dumb.
Yeah. I'm glad he's out of there.
And she was, when she was waiting for him, she was texting me the entire time and I'm completely like losing my shit.
And I'm like, oh my God,
we have to talk about this. We have to tell the story and everybody needs to know how dumb this is. And so, yeah.
It is dumb. They got it all. Yeah, they got it all wrong, you guys. They just got it all wrong. And I hope that everybody looks back on this time, like in 10 years, and they're just like, God, we were so stupid.
Well, it's funny that you said that. I just was looking at Twitter this morning and I saw a photograph of kids, that probably middle school age, who were all in these, you've seen those little tents that like go over a sports chair, right?
Yeah,
like that
people,
yeah. So they're all playing their instruments in these little tents.
Now
these,
they're doing that now.
No. This was, you know, this is like 2 years ago or during the height of the madness. But the picture was a still of what they were making these kids do.
Right.
And the caption said something like, never forget what the government made us go through. And I thought, that's exactly right. We can't forget how stupid everything was, how we had to pretend as though when we entered a restaurant wearing a mask that we were protected. And then as soon as we sat down, the virus didn't know to get to us anymore and we could take it off. All of it was so dumb. And I can't believe that we all participated.
Yeah,
and
but
so the point is now to not forget that
but
we
the problem
did that
is,
and never
is
do
that,
it again.
That people like Zeke Emanuel, like I wrote about him yesterday, Zeke Emanuel is still pushing the N95s. Like he's saying, COVID's coming again. And it's going to be even worse. And the only thing to protect you, vaccines don't work, but the only thing to protect you is the N95 mask. And I'm like, wait a second. And then I posted another video on our site yesterday. I posted about that yesterday. And then I posted a video right after him with the dude saying that they don't work. Mm-hmm. So it's like, the science is all over the place. And the fact that they squelch scientists who would contradict what one scientist would say, they squelched other scientists who were like, well, wait a second, I disagree with that. We never actually got to the true science. We never got real science because they only had certain scientists saying certain things.
Right.
So it's bogus. The science is bogus. And it has
well, and it's like today I wanted to play Dr. Peter McCullough's appearance on Tucker last night talking about Damar Hamlin. Right. And I thought, well, I don't think I'm going to share that because I know that YouTube would end up taking it down. We'd probably get another strike against us. And so and the fact that I even have to have this conversation in my own head about do I play this? Do I share this with the audience or do I have to worry that we're going to be banned forever if I do? So I will just tell you guys that he was on Tucker last night talking about this and you should go and watch that.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Yeah,
it was absolutely great.
Yeah, but it's like the only place you can watch that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, but replaying it, I don't know that it's a safe thing to do. And that's the worst part of all of it is that we haven't been able to have open conversations, which is the most important thing about science is to have open debate and talk through studies and be honest about them.
Amen.
And the fact that we're not allowed to do it still is Thank God for Elon Musk. At least there's one place that we can, right?
It's un-American. It's completely un-American what we've gone through over the past couple of years. Yeah.
I mean, it's out of control. It's just so incredibly frustrating. Okay, we've got to get to what went down in the House yesterday. But before we do that, just know that the chaos continues. And that is why this is a really good time if you haven't explored the possibility of adding precious metals, gold specifically, to your financial portfolio. Please get educated about it at the very least. There is no obligation. There is no cost to you to just learn. And Birch, our friends at Birch Gold, make it really, really easy because they put everything in one handy dandy little informational kit that you'll get if you just text the word chicks to 989898. They'll send you free information. You can look it over and decide, do I want to have this as part of my financial portfolio? It's always important to diversify, especially right now when everything is just, all of our futures are basically hinging on the crazy that's happening in Congress right now. And so at least you want to have your financial portfolio protected and not have all your eggs in one basket. So I'm just telling you, you're going to learn a lot. That's all I'm asking. Just learn. Text chicks to 989898 and you're going to get that free information kit. And I promise you, the information is worth it.
You guys check out our website, chicksontheright.com.
Chicksontheright.com. Okay. So yesterday, as we talked about in the morning, we knew it was going to be chaos. We knew that Kevin McCarthy didn't have the votes. That's exactly what happened. They went through three ballots. He lost every one. And in fact, on the third ballot, he got further behind. So Byron Donalds, who I'm a huge fan of from Florida, switched his vote from McCarthy to Jim Jordan. Now, it should be said, Jim Jordan absolutely wants nothing to do with being speaker. But as you're going to hear from a couple different clips, that's not stopping these 20 holdouts. So first, to just give you sort of a rundown of like what happened exactly and what happens next, here is Trace Gallagher kind of breaking it down to Tucker last night.
After three rounds of voting, Kevin McCarthy is actually losing ground. During rounds one and two, 19 hardline conservatives voted against him. But in round three, Florida GOP Congressman-elect Byron Donalds also voted against McCarthy. All 20 of those GOP opposition votes went to Ohio Congressman-elect Jim Jordan, who says he does not want to be Speaker of the House. Meantime, those voting against Kevin McCarthy are pushing for concessions like specific committee assignments and increased funding to investigate government corruption. But Congressman-elect Mike Waltz says those voting against McCarthy keep changing their demands. Watch him.
At this point, it seems to just be pure obstructionism. And what's so frustrating is the goalpost seems to keep moving. We all asked this morning as a conference, some of those individuals, what will it take to get to 218 so we can move forward with the agenda that the voters elected us to move forward with and stop Biden's agenda? So, and there was no answer.
Meantime, Kevin McCarthy says he is in it for the long haul. And by the way, the record long haul happened back in 1856 when it took 133 ballots over 2 months to elect a Speaker of the House. And remember, until there's a Speaker, the House cannot do any business. In fact, new members can't even be sworn in. Political analysts say as the ballots go on, some members may start voting present, and each no-show or present vote would lower Kevin McCarthy's threshold. Right now, as you heard, he needs 218 votes. Tucker, he is 16 short going into tomorrow.
I'm so sick of these people.
I'm just so
freaking sick of him. And if you think that the people who are voting against him are doing it because it's in your best interest, like they're doing it for their constituents, you are so naive. You are just naive. Seriously.
Yeah, but see, now people are going to be like, you guys are rhinos for saying
that. Yeah, okay. Well, then call me a rhino because I've been watching this crap for 14 years and I've watched so many good people get into these positions and just become bad. And those are the people that get in there and they want personal crap. That's what it is. They're doing it for themselves. They're doing it.
That's
so
what
for
it sounds
themselves.
Like. I mean, especially now when you can't get a straight answer from these 20 about what it'll take. And when they start saying, well, I want to be on this particular committee, I'm sorry, but F them, because that is not about America. That is about your personal wish list. And that is just as swampy as anything McCarthy has done or will do.
Yeah,
all of them are awful. And I think that's what's so frustrating is that you know, and it's just so funny to hear them even referring to everybody as congressman-elect so-and-so. They're not even allowed to use those titles right now because they're not able to be sworn in. That's how dumb everything is. Yeah. Everything is so dumb. Now, I know people are going to get like they're going to be like, oh my God, Karl Rove. I can't believe you would play anything from him. Listen, I don't care what you think about Karl Rove. The only reason I'm playing this clip of him is because he is talking about what happens next. And I just from a process standpoint, I think it's important to hear it. It doesn't matter who's saying it. Just like look away that it's Karl Rove. But the point is, here's what has to happen next.
First of all, you have to have McCarthy agree to toss in the towel because the OK crew, the only Kevin group, are going to stay with him until the cows come home. He's going to have to release him. So the first step is he has to come to a place where he says, I'm throwing in the towel. And then second of all, then becomes, if that were to happen, then there'd have to be discussions about who that person is. And remember, everybody now, what the Freedom Caucus, if they were able to achieve that, would bring about is countervailing pressure from others. Other elements of the House Republican Caucus would say, well, if they were able to get that, then we're going to come forward with our set of demands, particularly if they're able to get somebody who agrees that they will do things like allow Freedom Caucus members to designate what committees they serve on and so forth. There are going to be other demands from other groups of the House Republicans. This is an utter unmitigated disaster. Chaos tends to bring about chaos until it no longer brings about chaos. We're a long way from the point at which chaos stops bringing around more chaos.
Yeah. So here's the other thing that frustrates me so much about this is that they knew. We've known this forever, that McCarthy doesn't have enough votes, and there's never been a backup plan. Like, even from the people that are the holdouts, you heard them I think it was a clip that we even played yesterday where they were like, being asked by Brett Baer, who is your backup? And they're like, oh, you'll see. And so now they're just throwing around Jim Jordan's name, who doesn't even want to do it, and they're throwing around a couple other. There's no backup plan. And the problem is that there's a whole big bunch of Republicans who are only going to vote for McCarthy. So what now? What is even going to happen?
Nothing. Nothing happens. Oh, nothing gets done. That's the answer. Nothing. Nothing happens. Meanwhile, we have so much shit to do.
Yeah.
You know, like there are people out here. It's like we wanted these people to get actual work done and they're not getting anything done. Bunch of toddlers.
And you know who's in charge? The freaking clerk that was appointed by Pelosi. So that's what we want. We want all these clowns to be fighting amongst each other about like committee assignments while the House that we won, Republicans won, is now being led by a Democrat appointee.
I know.
That's what's bonkers about
this. I know. It's crazy. This is the thing. This is the thing. We put these people in charge and then I know it's not all about how it appears to everybody, but you think the Democrats are not going to like take this and capitalize on it too.
They are absolutely
loving it. They're like, woo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're going to use this crap. I mean, why would we do this?
It's so insane. So Dan Crenshaw, this was on Fox and Friends. I shouldn't say this, but I feel like when I watch this clip of Dan Crenshaw, and he posted this, okay, so I got this from his Twitter account. He posted his appearance on Fox and Friends talking about how ridiculous all of this is. And he's so informal and like not... It's not that he's unprofessional. It's as if he's talking at a cocktail party. Do you know what I mean? Like the way that he's talking about this is so
like he's at the point where he gives zero of these. He gives zero. So, he just doesn't care anymore. He just is like, I'm just done. I can't with these people.
That's the thing. Right. And so the whole clip, I was like watching it going, oh my God, like he sounds just like he's talking to his best friend about what's going down right now.
Yeah.
And so, and again, I know people are in the comments, Crenshaw's a traitor. Crenshaw's so shady. It doesn't matter who is doing the talking. Okay. That's not the point. I'm not highlighting Rove and I'm not highlighting Crenshaw specifically because of who they are. I'm just highlighting what they're saying because the reaction.
And how they're saying it.
That's right. What was so funny to me about this whole clip. I may be the only one that read this much into it. So you'll have to tell me what you think. Here it is.
Who are you hearing these renegade Republicans want to nominate, essentially, as Speaker. Who's their person?
They don't have one.
There's
That's
no
a great
plan.
Question. There's no plan.
Right.
That's a great question. They keep acting like, you know, they keep acting like they've got somebody in the wings. They're just waiting. You'll see on the day of, right? They keep saying that. They're like children. This is such a childish attempt at gaining more and more attention. You know why they say it like that? Because they want you to interview them again. That's why they're doing it. Please interview. You'll see. If you just put me on TV just one more time, please. Then I'll tell you who we're going to go for. But here's the thing. They've got nobody. Even if they did, I promise you, there's a ton of Republicans who will not vote for them. They will not vote for anyone except Kevin McCarthy. Because here's the thing. This is a general election. All right. We had our primary election and Kevin McCarthy won with 85% of the vote. That's a primary election. Now we're in the general election. So if you're not voting for our GOP nominee, you are voting for Democrats. You are enabling Democrats. Yep. And let's make something very clear. You know who is technically the Speaker of the House if Kevin isn't sworn in? It is a clerk who is appointed by Nancy Pelosi. So the only person you're empowering are the Democrats. The Democrats are cheering. The Democrats are so happy that this is all happening because these guys and these girls wanted to make this happen. They wanted so much notoriety. Their own sense of self-aggrandizement, so important to them, that they needed to make this happen.
Do you see what I mean? Was it just me?
Well, he doesn't give any shits at this point, I don't think.
Okay, because right, I was like, damn.
You can hate the guy all you want, but he's speaking the truth. There's nothing there that he said that was wrong. What can you disagree with?
I mean, all the people that are like, you know, standing up with Lauren Boebert and all the other holdouts, Matt Gaetz, everybody, they're like, yeah, because you can't drain the swamp with the lead alligator or whatever it is that Matt Gaetz said about Kevin McCarthy. What is the alternative? Like, what are you actually thinking is going to happen? Because, Jim Jordan is not going to be speaker, you guys. That's not going to happen.
It's this is the thing. It's like there's an actual process that's in place here. You can't screw up the process. I mean, you actually have to follow some rules here. And they're not following the rules. They're grandstanding. That's the thing. I mean, they're just like, I'm up here. He's absolutely right. I mean,
if they would have put up a Jim Jordan or a Steve Scalise back during what Crenshaw is calling the primary, then why did they not do that? Like, why didn't they have this fight before it came to the House floor on the first day of the Congress when Democrats all got in line, all held hands and said, we in unity are nominating Jeffries to be our leader. And they were all, and they're celebrating, you guys. Democrats are celebrating right now.
It's almost as if
they lose power.
It's almost as if Gaetz and Boebert and all those people didn't read how things work.
Just don't understand what their end game is.
They just came in and they're like, we're just going to make up our, you can't do that. You can't make up there are actual rules and how this shit works. You got to read something. You can't just come in and do this. It's not that I don't like those people. It's just that there is a process and you can't just make up your own process. That's how things work, kids.
It's not. If this was the plan should have happened when they were conferencing and doing this vote. And so this is crazy. So will happen is that they're going to get to enough ballots like they did in the 1800s that people do start voting just present. And then the threshold for the number of votes Kevin McCarthy actually needs is going to get lower. And then he'll squeak in there, I think.
Yeah. And then,
but in the meantime, what gained from this whole thing?
We would have wasted so much time. Then it just goes to what it was supposed to be in the first place. We wasted all this time. And then that's time we could have spent doing something.
Right. And that being led by Nancy Pelosi's appointee.
Yeah, by her clerk. And then at the end of the day, it's like, look at all the stuff that we could have gotten done in that time, one. And then two, it just shows how further fractured we are. And then the American people see that. It's just, it's further, I don't know, public relations on how completely fractured we are, how much we hate one another.
Right.
You know? I hate it.
And if we can't get together on this, like say Kevin McCarthy does squeak in after 72 billion ballots, I don't know. Mm-hmm. How effective of a leader can he possibly be? It's nothing is going to get better because he won't have the confidence of these people, of anybody, in terms of unifying anyone. And so, like, we're at a dead end. Like, we have thrown away the results of this election, which was already razor thin. We already won the majority by a razor thin margin. And now the way that we're behaving is that we're just throwing away the win and letting Democrats celebrate the fact that they have lost power. Like, this is, I can't even believe this is where we are. Like, it's so freaking bonkers to me that this is where we are. Wow. Anyway, so that's what happened. The voting starts again at noon today. So that's all. That's where we are, you guys. It's not a good place to be.
And listen, I'm not saying that our party doesn't need a complete overhaul. This is just not the way to do it.
Can we just do some things first? Like, can we get some shit done? And then, because I know we would have at least been able to get some shit done if we had been unified. We got the speaker. We were ready to go on day one. Then at least we could start. Committees could start their work. They could start doing their investigations. They could undo the IRS 87,000 agents. Right now, we can't do jack. And so I don't know how this is helping anything.
That would have been a much better way to do it rather than have a bunch of self-serving blowhard jackholes. showing the American people that they don't really care about the American people. They care more about themselves, which is what I'm seeing. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm seeing.
I think there's a couple of them who genuine, like a Chip Roy, for example, anytime he speaks, I'm just like enamored, right? I mean, he's so powerful. And I do believe genuinely that he's like, we can't elect McCarthy because he's bad for the party. I empathize with people. I'm one of them. I don't think McCarthy's he's not the best person that we have. He's actually kind of awful, but he is what we have. And so I don't want to risk a majority and the ability to actually move forward on an agenda because of this fight. And so I just don't think, as much as I admire the people who have the right reasons for the fight, it's not helpful right now. It's just not. And so
I totally agree with you. I just think that we have stuff that I agree with you 100%, 100% on what you just said. It's just that we've got to get stuff done. There's too much work to be done right now. Yeah.
Right now, the sheets, the Giza Dream Sheets, those delicious, wonderful, soft, but not too slickery Dream Sheets are on massive sale when you use code CHICKS at mypillow.com/chicks. All right. So that's what's going on with that. I also, we have to talk about this story because I read this and it's the reason for my headline today. Somebody just out Dolezal'd Rachel Dolezal, you guys. So this is an actual headline. The co-founder of the Queer Indigenous Artists Collective in Wisconsin has been unmasked as an actual white woman. Now, this is a white woman whose birth name was Kay LeClaire, okay? Kay LeClaire. This is just so funny.
Oh my God.
She, based on like 23andMe, ancestry, genealogy, whatever, her lineage, her actual, like where she comes
from. She is a white girl. She's like the whitest white girl ever.
She's so white, you guys.
She's like she's Gretchen Whitmer white is what she is.
She is German, Swedish, and French Canadian. Okay. But when I tell you the name that she has been using in order to basically be a leader in the community as a Native American woman.
Okay.
I'm just gonna try to say it.
Can you put it up on the screen? Like,
I don't know. Let me see if I can do that. Because
there's no way you could do that. Because
I can do it as a banner. I think.
Okay.
I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna create a banner with the name. You guys. All right. Hang on.
Here we go. Thank you.
This is the name.
Going by. Okay, Nibby Waka Migwe. Nibby. It's Nibby Waka Migwe. That's what it is.
That's her name, Nibby, you guys.
Nibby Waka Migwe, right?
Right? So that was the name that she went by. She also identifies as a two-spirit, which is, you've probably heard that in the LGBTQIA++++++ lingo. Like, it's one of those things that you can identify as, but it is a term specific to the indigenous Native American community. That is a term that they use to describe a non-binary gender. And so she, so not only is she, does she go by Nibi Waka Migwe Kwe, but she's also a two-spirit queer indigenous artist.
What the hell is a two-spirit?
She's been found out.
What is a two-spirit? What does
that mean?
That's
what I'm saying. That is the term that indigenous people use to describe non-binary. It's their word for non-binary.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So she co-opted that. She co-opted their entire culture, really.
So then what happens? Like, what happens to her?
So she tried to say, again, Germans, what did I say? Swedish and French Canadian?
Yeah, she's just white. She's just a full-on white chick.
She's full on white.
She's white.
So she claimed that she was from, I'm going to have to put this on the screen too, because this is, this is what she said. Hang on. This is what she said. Her, let me edit this here. I'm going to say she hailed from these regions. Okay. So I'm going to put the regions. This is what.
She's a freaking liar. No way. What? No,
whatever.
So. The one that starts with an H looks like it's some sort of,
I don't know,
Haudenosaunee Cuban and Jewish heritage. Okay, what is Metis?
I don't know.
Oneida. I thought that was silverware. Am I wrong about that? I really think that's silverware.
Well, needless to say, she has been found out. Okay, and so now because she. This has been her gig. Like, this has been how she's earned money. She's a member and co-owner of this artist collective. She gets artist stipends. She has a residency that's paid at the University of Wisconsin.
Oh my God.
She's a part of the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Task Force. She gets paid for speaking gigs, all kinds of art exhibitions. I mean, she's been raking in the money, faking her identity. Okay. And so now that she's been found out, she has released a statement to the local newspaper, I guess. And she writes, this is her statement. She says, "I am sorry. A lot of information has come to my attention since late December. I'm still processing it all and don't yet know how to respond adequately. What I can do now is offer change. Moving forward, my efforts will be towards reducing harm by following the directions provided by Native community members and community-specified proxies." And she's going to like turn in any culturally related artifacts that she has. She's going to stop using that name that we showed. And she's removing herself from all community spaces, positions, projects, and grants, and will not seek new ones. So in other words, she's owning it. She's owning up to it. But like, why are people doing this, right? Like, what?
Because
learn nothing from Dolezal?
Because they can make money off of it. Because they can make bank. That's why people are doing it. Because cha-ching. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It's crazy.
This is nuts, you guys.
That is
crazy.
It is
so freaking nuts. I just can't.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because you can you can make so much money being somebody that you're not.
Clearly. Look at Elizabeth Warren.
Right. You can totally do that. This is how you get scholarships, how you get grants, how you get all sorts of, just by being somebody that you're not. And then she did it for a long time. It's a good racket. Yeah,
she had a good run. And I'm not exactly sure who decided to start looking into her, how they found out about her lineage, like all of that.
Well, they probably it's kind of like Rachel Dolezal. She doesn't look black.
Mm. Right.
Think about it. This chick, if she is white, she had to do something to her appearance to make her look like she was not white. I mean, it's not like, look at me. I couldn't get away with that.
Do you remember the movie Soul Man with C. Thomas Howell?
I do.
I freaking love that movie. Never be made now.
Couldn't. And like, it was not believable. Like you're watching that going, or the movie White Girls, where it's like the Wayans brothers trying to be white. And it's like, you would look at that and be like, no, in real life, it's just, no, you don't look white. You don't.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this is, it just wouldn't fly. Yeah.
Also, another interesting headline, I thought, before we get to an update on Damar Hamlin. This was another for real headline. Apparently, there was a movie made, Romeo and Juliet, back in 1968, like an original Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, yeah.
Had a 15 and 16 year olds playing Romeo and Juliet back in the day, because Romeo and Juliet were obviously teenagers in the story. And so the actors, the female and the male lead that played Romeo and Juliet, I don't know their names. I didn't recognize them. It's probably not that important. But they're now 71 and 72 years old. They are right now suing Paramount for making them do a nude scene in that movie in 1968 for in excess of $500 million for the trauma that apparently caused them.
Yeah, I saw that this morning and I was like, yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah. Cuz they were underage. They were 15 and 16 years old. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know, right? It's like what are they doing? Did they just need some money for their kids and grandkids? Like, what's happening?
Could not believe that this is people suck, you know.
Yeah, they really do. They're litigious. They're litigious a holes is what they are. That's what they are. Because that's what that is. That's what that is right there. Let's just get real. Yeah. Did you see? Gross. This is totally off the subject, but I also saw the same publication where I read that. Did you see that there's a bomb cyclone going to California, like California,
San Francisco? Yeah, specifically. Yeah.
Like, what is going on? The weather there. The weather has just been nuts.
Climate change, man.
And it's weather, you guys.
That's what they'll tell you. It's climate change.
Weather. I got to find out.
My favorite part.
I got to find out if it's San Jose. If it's going to hit San Jose, because that's where my kids are.
How far is that from San Francisco? No,
somebody can tell me. It's pretty close to San Francisco. Really, really close. Somebody can tell me. I got to find out.
Yeah, anyway, I don't know. But I read that it's coming towards San Francisco, that's where they're actually super worried about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but my favorite thing about like all the climate change, you know, the people that scream climate change when these kinds of major weather events happen is when they say, and they have to say it, they have to admit, this is the biggest storm since, you know, 19 or 18, whatever, whenever they track the last big one. And so I always want to say, okay, so you're saying this has happened before. That I'm always like, how do they not realize when they say that this is the kind of storm that happens once every 140 years. And it has been happening once every 140 years. It's not about climate change. It's about a weather pattern that repeats itself every 100 so years.
Yeah, that's weather. All. It's just weather. It's weather.
Anyway. okay. So the last video that I have to share is of Damar Hamlin's uncle, who was, he was found outside the hospital. He had been visiting his nephew, obviously, and being at his bedside. But a reporter, I think, from CNN, saw that he had a visitor's badge and just took a chance that maybe it was a relative of Damar Hamlin and asked if she could interview him. And he agreed. So I don't have the whole thing because it's pretty long, but I thought people might be interested in sort of the latest about his condition. And so here is Damar Hamlin's uncle.
In tears, man. And I'm not a crier, but like I never cried so hard in my life, man. Just to know like my nephew basically died on the field and they brought him back to life. I mean, that's just heartbreaking. And to see all those grown men crying and all the emotion, man, it just, it really was a gut punch, man. And I would have been crying no matter who it was, but for it to be my nephew, it had that much more impact on me, man. And I'm just glad he's just still alive and able to fight and trying to get better and recover.
You told me off camera your nephew died twice. Can you explain?
Well, his heart had went out, so they had to resuscitate him twice. They resuscitated him on the field before they brought him to the hospital, and then they resuscitated him a second time when he got to the hospital. So I just want to show my gratitude for the medical staff that were on hand, because if not for them, my nephew probably wouldn't even be here.
An abundance of
gratitude for the medical staff here. He also described what he has seen inside of the hospital. He said his nephew is flipped over on his stomach, and he told me that is to help with the blood on his lungs. He also says the next step is for doctors to get his nephew to breathe on his own.
So that's where that is.
Oh my God, that sounds terrible. I hope he pulls through.
I know. And, you know, I've heard like mixed stories about, you know, him being resuscitated once or twice. Did it take 9 seconds? Did it take 9 minutes? Like all of these conflicting reports, and everything gets so, you know, discombobulated at the beginning of something like this. And there's mixed messages, and then things start to get more and more clear. But I think that's as clear as you can get, right? From someone who's actually been spending time, who can talk about the fact that he has apparently blood on his lungs, that he's laying on, you know, on his stomach to help with that he's not able to breathe on his own yet. So hopefully they've got him sedated so that he can recover and rest and get his body to where it needs to be so that he can start doing some of those things on his own. Cause oh my God.
Yeah. Just
so awful. So people
awful. Are asking, I wonder if he got the job. I wonder if he got the job. I mean, people have talked about that, right? I mean,
and my husband has said he had heard, I think someone else said, yeah, Amanda has said that there's been reports. I don't know how accurate they are, that he was just boosted like a week ago. And so that was one of the things that the doctor was saying on Tucker last night in that clip that I don't want to play.
Peter McCullough. Yeah.
Right. Because he was basically saying, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to know, and hopefully, I mean, I think his main point, which was a good one, is that we can't rule anything out, specifically the thing. We can't rule that out. But the big concern is, will the NFL, will the Bills, will all the people involved own up to whatever the actual reason is? Because if they hide it, that's terrible for everybody. Like, everybody needs to know what those potentially can do to people. Right. So if that ends up being a primary cause, they better not be covering that crap up.
Yeah. You know, what I'm seeing a lot on social media and otherwise, a lot of the narrative now is it's actually COVID.
Yeah. I've seen that too.
A lot of people.
McCullough says that too. Says that too.
A lot of people are saying it could be this or it could be actually COVID. So, but the thing is that, you know, listen, I think part of it is the scientists aren't taking the time to study that. That is what they've just shied away from it entirely.
And we're not getting to hear about the results. We're not getting the data.
Right. Nobody's talking about it, which is infuriating. It's infuriating as hell. This is the kind of stuff that scientists should be looking into and studying. And they should have done that from the get-go. They should have been doing this at the very beginning. They should have been talking about all the stuff and studying it and collecting data on it.
I think they have been, which is why that group of doctors, including McCullough, including Robert Malone and all of them, have been so loud but yet censored. They've been trying to say all the things and they just can't get the word out. But I think the data is there, and that's why they remain so convinced that it's dangerous, that people should be wary of that.
The thing is, where the data, where the clinical study, that's therein lies the difference between us and other drugs. Anyway,
I just hope we find out what the hell is going on, because that's not something that should be hidden, you know. And it's true that, you know, they do say that having had COVID also can have, you can get heart damage from that. And sometimes the very first way, it can be completely asymptomatic until an event like a cardiac arrest. And so, I don't know. I don't even know if he ever had COVID. So that would be a question, right?
Like, we don't know. But this is the kind of stuff that needs to be talked about. Right. A lot. We need to talk about this stuff. Everybody and doctors need to have, you know, discussions and debates about it. And this is the stuff that should have been happening over the past few years, but it hasn't. Yep. And the fact that it hasn't, that ain't science.
Right.
Yeah.
God, just Anyway, keep all the prayers going for Damar Hamlin and his family, because damn, that's just a really, really tough,
situation. Is. Yeah, it is.
But
yeah.
I keep thinking about my dad, you know, and my dad was out. He had to be shocked alive three times. And so, I mean, there were, I want to say like 6 or 7 minutes went by without him breathing on his own. And he still made a full recovery. So I feel I'm still remaining hopeful about all of that stuff. I'm still keeping the hope alive because I just... Doctors can do amazing things. And yeah. One of the other things that McCullough said on Tucker last night was that he watched the incident happen and that what he saw on the field in terms of the care that he was getting immediately was perfect. Like the medical team handled the situation exactly as they should have. So he got the best possible care, and that makes me feel hopeful too. So
yeah. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
All right. What is in your sack of whack?
Okay. Wait, so I didn't know that cats did this, you guys. I feel like this is really whack. This is a rescue kitty that somebody had in their home. And apparently cats, I thought dogs are the only ones who did this, where dogs will eat crazy stuff. This cat was found, I believe it was 38 hair ties in his belly. Like this person adopted this cat, and the cat started feeling like kind of sick. They couldn't, it was like lethargic, and she stopped eating. And then they took it to the vet. Lo and behold, there were 38 hair ties in this kitty's belly. I mean, I
lose hair ties all the time, but I feel like if I was missing that many, I would know that something was up.
I mean, that is crazy. I've never seen this before. I didn't even know they did this. No clue. Dogs eat socks. Dogs eat all sorts. They eat everything. They eat inappropriate things. I've seen all sorts of stories about inappropriate things that dogs eat. But cats? So this is just a PSA for all you cat owners, because I don't have a cat. Like, be careful with stuff laying around the house, because...
Watch your hair ties, man.
Watch your hair ties, especially because this is what they do. They eat lots and lots of things. So,
but she's good now.
I think she's okay. I didn't.
She had successful surgery. Now she's dealing with a liver issue, because there was like a liver blockage.
Yeah, but
now, like, listen, they're fixing that.
If this was a Labrador, the Labrador would just pass it. I'm just saying.
Look at what it looked like on the inside. Like,
isn't that nuts?
Is just a ball of hair ties, you guys. What in the world?
Somebody was pissed off about the hair ties. So yeah, so just watch your hair ties, people.
Yeah. Gotta keep an eye on those things, man. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, I feel like we wung that show pretty well.
We wung it,
all things considered.
There's a lot of wonging, happening. Yeah, you guys, bring it in. I didn't get a chance to go to my post office yesterday. It was one of those days.
This week
has kind of been crazy. It's going to be crazy. I'm going to do the best I can. And then we had a family thing that happened yesterday, and I just spent a lot of time on the phone and everything. And today is going to be even crazier, I have a feeling. And
today's,
I have to go
crazy
to Austin.
Tomorrow's crazy.
It's crazy. It's just a crazy, lunatic week. It's just crazy. So I'll do the best I can. I'll try to get to my post office. I'll do my best. I'll give the old college try. You guys, have a fantastic, I think it's Wednesday. Have a great Wednesday.